the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Incredible. Just being surrounded by people from every era of my life who've been part of shaping me in my calling to follow Christ in this way. And just overwhelming, exciting, the weight and the enormity of it as well, but really having that sense that this is how Christ has called me to follow him and to share Christ's love and hope with people.
That's Bishop Rachel Trawick. Just moments after she was elevated to become Bishop of Gloucester, she's also going to be the first woman to sit in the House of Lords this fall. She and many others have been elevated to bishop in the Church of England. That actually happened rather quickly over the course of about a year from this, from now going backward. And you got to wonder, why is it that for centuries the church did not have female priests, much less female bishops? And now the Church of England feels the need to rather quickly, especially in terms of the Anglican timeline, which usually is counted in hundreds of years rather than hundreds of days, why have female bishops, and what difference are they expected to make, or are they making? We're going to be talking about the impact of female bishops on the Church of England. Bishop Keith Ackerman will join us here in the first few minutes of the program on this Thursday afternoon, July the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, we'll review the movie Ant-Man. Pastor Ted Giese will join us. He says there's a little bit of the First Commandment in there, but it's mostly just a fun superhero movie. And then Stephanie Barclay of the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty will join us. The Little Sisters of the Poor going back to the Supreme Court, and religious liberty will be the issue. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the impact of female bishops on the Church of England, Bishop Keith Ackerman. He's a regular guest, former bishop of the Diocese of Quincy, Illinois, council member for an Anglican Reform group called Forward in Faith. Bishop Ackerman, welcome back.
Thanks so much. Pleasure to hear your voice.
Refresh our memory, because usually Anglicans do things very, very slowly. Nothing happens quickly, especially decisions and actions like this. Why did the Church of England think it necessary to have, in a rather short amount of time, first female priests and then female bishops?
Very good question. And I think your assessment of the timeline is about right. And I would have to say that it means that we need to take a moment and realize that the Church of England is still a state church. And while it's true that I do not think that they have moved wisely, nonetheless, it's all part of the push in that part of the world to be politically correct and also to have, quote, equal representation. If we look carefully, we'll notice that the Church of England is going in the same way that the Church of Sweden did as it relates to state church. I think the next step will be dissociation, and I think disestablishment is probably around the corner.
So, in other words, it sounds like you're saying, to a great degree, the Church of England, not Anglicanism in the broader sense, but the Church of England in particular, is being driven by the cultural, political, social forces in Great Britain.
I would absolutely concur. That's precisely what I am saying. And I think that's part of the dilemma, of course. There are 39 provinces in the Anglican Communion, and it is true that several of the provinces have now stepped forward. What makes it, or I should say devolved, gone backwards, but what is true is that when the Church of England does something, it does reflect upon the rest of the Anglican community.
Are there provinces where perhaps female priests and bishops are technically allowed but simply not practiced?
Yes, there are several where that would be the case. However, here's the dilemma. Logically speaking, if one says, okay, it's all right to be able to have female priests but not bishops, it's a very, very odd point of view because, of course, we're still talking about the eventuality of being a bishop. That is, one might be able to take the headship perspective from Scripture, but most Anglicans would take the perspective of that would look at a much wider picture of ontology. That is, the ontological reality is here. For example, is in fact a priest represents Christ at the altar, and the church is a feminine image. You can see that there are two feminines now. We have the feminine, the church, and then we have the feminine, the priest. Now let's take it a step further. Listen to 1 Timothy. Not only is what the Church of England done inconsistent with overall ecclesiology, but it's in complete conflict with the pastoral epistles, especially where the requirements of the bishop are laid forward so straightforwardly.
Well, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Bishop Keith Ackerman. He's a former bishop of the Diocese of Quincy, Illinois, and a council member of an Anglican reform group called Forward in Faith. We're talking about the impact of female bishops on the Church of England on this Thursday afternoon, July the 23rd.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India,
Sweden,
Egypt,
France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong, Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore, Bulgaria,
Korea, Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Clear, concise, consistent. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Bishop Keith Ackerman about the impact of female bishops on the Church of England. I guess this is kind of a touchy question because we can't know case to case, but can we assume that when we're dealing with a woman like in the case of Rachel Trawick, who has now been elevated to Bishop of Gloucester and a rather prominent position there in the church, including a seat in the House of Lords. Are we dealing here with the theological position on the part of Bishop Trewick that would be considered on the, for lack of a better word, the liberal end of the Anglican spectrum?
Yes, that would be absolutely right. As I was mentioning before, just a little bit on the issue of archetype and root metaphor, once we alter a root metaphor, no matter how many justifications one may have for the individual, it already makes what we're dealing with a brand new paradigm, which is what is happening here. That is to say, she may herself actually have some conservative points of view. But if we believe, as Anglicans do, that the bishop is a successor to the apostles, this is simply impossible.
So what has been so far? Because it hasn't been a long time. It happened, as we've both noted, rather quickly. But what do you think the effect so far has been of this?
Uh-huh. I think, first of all, it's been absolutely deadly ecumenically. The Roman Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, elements of the old Catholic Church, especially in this country, find it impossible. How is it that one can sit down and have ecumenical conversation and ecumenical relations if the people with whom we're speaking keep on changing the rules? And so that has been deadly as it relates to the worldwide ecumenical scene. As it relates to the culture, of course, it's interesting. One might be able to say, well, by being able to offer something of this nature, this will engage the contemporary people. Frankly, people in England don't go to church. And moreover, I would have to say that the Church of England needs to get a very big thank you card from the Roman Catholic Church, because some of the fine priests, some of the young priests, some of the academics have gone to the Roman Catholic Church, quite frankly, because they've said, we didn't sign up for this. So I would have to say that this is literally the rearrangement of the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Hmm. There are now 6 female bishops in the Church of England and counting. I'm assuming that more will be elevated in due time. Now, that in terms of just kind of a political force is, just in terms of, you know, sheer numbers, is not much. But I imagine that given their rather unique place in the Church of England, they may have an outsized, oversized voice or vote. What do you think about that, Bishop Ackerman?
I would totally agree with you. The system in England is that every bishop has to have a see. And that means that they all have to have a title, so that there's no such thing as an assistant bishop, or in this country we'd call them suffragans. In the Church of England, they all have title and see, so that the aforementioned bishop indeed is now a diocesan. She will have several bishops under her. She's in a very unique position. Gloucester is an historic see, no question about it. But that is the amount of space that she will take up in the press, the amount of opportunity for to exercise a bully pulpit is going to be huge. Now, what does that mean? Well, for Parliament, it doesn't matter a lot. If you look at Parliament, not everybody in there is an Anglican anymore. The major, major shift in the Parliament, keeping in mind that this had to be approved by Parliament, the major shift is there are certainly non-Christians now in Parliament.
Now, I'm concerned about what has been historically the next step for many confessions of faith and church bodies. Here in the U.S., with the Episcopal Church USA, and then also with other Protestant denominations, the ordination of women and the elevation of women to the seats of bishops or to this equivalence in various other church bodies has usually been, for one reason or another, a prelude to broaching the subject of open homosexuality in the clergy. What are your thoughts there, Bishop Ackerman?
I have met very few people in the church who would disagree with you. I would have to say that's absolutely right. Now, on one hand, one might be able to say, I do not see that there is any association between the two subjects. And I suppose if one were to speak purely theologically, And purely from an ecclesiological perspective, one might be able to draw the conclusion that they are not associated. On the other hand, because of the current experience and what we see in the church today, they are related on two counts. Number one, both have sociological motivations. Neither one is what you would call a motivation caused by biblical or theological principles. The second thing that one would have to note is that the progression occurs because one then thinks that they can change something. Now, indeed, we live in a democracy in this country. They live in a semi-democracy, as it were, in England, as it relates to the church. But both have somehow missed out on the reality that we're dealing with a theocracy. That is, what is it that God preordained? What is it that God determined would be? Fact of the matter is that his creation is complementary. Aquinas says so. It's a matter of natural law. It comes right out of Genesis. There is a complementarity to God's creation. When we begin to have interchangeability of people in ministry, it inevitably leads to having the interchangeability of sex within all of the sacraments.
And here's a quote from Bishop Trewick when she's cautious about the issue of same-sex issues, especially same-sex marriage, following upon Ireland's decision there. She says, and I want you to translate this from Anglicanese into the language the rest of us speak. She says, for me, it offers us an immense opportunity to have a robust conversation, recognizing that we have hugely different viewpoints within the church. One of my real prayers is that rather than focus on the issue, we can look at how we can live with the difference. Every news story today is about where people have not been able to live with the difference. What is she saying there?
She's saying, please hold on, everybody. Keep on talking to each other. Be polite and kind, and then eventually this will win the day. It is all part of a concept that was misapplied at the last Lambeth conference called Indaba. Indaba is, from a tribal perspective, a very wonderful way to begin because tribes that have the same blood with the same understanding of life reach conclusion on the basis of consultation. We are not now talking about people who have the same perspective as their beginning point. We are talking about people who have very different points of view from the very beginning, and now it's a matter of how can we dominate with a point of view that we have now, that we accept.
Before we let you go, Bishop Ackerman, Forward in Faith North America recently concluded its International Catholic Congress of Anglicans. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, what we did was determine that around the world there were Anglicans that are in pain over this whole issue that we have been discussing today. And so we brought them. There were 350 registered. We wound up having nearly 500 Anglicans from around the world, including archbishops and bishops, who cannot even comprehend how Anglicanism, and in particular the Church of England and the Episcopal Church, have gotten off the rails. And what we did was we determined that the real issues are issues of ecclesiology and authority, the authority of Scripture, the authority of those who have been put into positions of leadership, namely male bishops and priests and deacons, and then finally the whole matter of what the church, how the church came into being. As I said to the assembly, the church was not created so that Jesus could have a job. The church is, in fact, the bride of Christ, and therefore we have to get down to the rudimentary issues at hand. Once the church was able to be neutered and become an it rather than a she, much of what we are encountering today has followed. This was a congress that dealt primarily with rudimentary issues, and one of the other comments that I had made was that once you alter a root metaphor, it takes three generations before it becomes the new substitution. The most obvious being that no longer do we talk about the Holy Trinity in terms of what has been revealed, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We talk about a whole new language, which is being advocated by some of the female bishops in England, I might add, of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier, none of which are personhood, but rather deal with function, and minimalist at that.
Folks, you will find a link to Forward in Faith under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bishop Keith Ackerman is a regular guest, former bishop of the Diocese of Quincy, Illinois, and a council member of the Anglican Reform Group called Forward in Faith. Bishop Ackerman, thank you very much for your time.
Always a joy. God bless you, my friend.